Hi, everybody. Eve Herr, Rejuvenation on the Land of Israel Network at APAC, March 20th, 2016. Re-meeting Craig Dershowitz, whom I know from Israel, Artists for Israel, have literally splashed their beautiful work all over the country in places that you would never expect. So, Craig, thanks so much for joining me.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
And 18,000 other people or whatever crazy number of people are walking around this conference hall.
We're used to lots of people, so it's fine.
Yeah, you guys hang in a crowd. So over here in the corner, and not really the corner, like the center of the convention hall, some beautiful work of, well, Artists for Israel. Tell us, who are Artists for Israel?
So Artists for Israel is a lot of things, but particularly what we're looking at now is we bring the world's greatest graffiti artists from all over the world to Israel, and they paint giant murals in needy communities. Some of these images are of that. They get a ton of press for it. They're very well recognized in the art world. They're, because of them coming to Israel, they're beating BDS. All the artists now want to participate. All the artists from the youth subcultures, from street art, from graffiti, from modern contemporary art. Then they come back to their home countries and they do pro-Israel events there. But most important to us is that they leave these gorgeous murals behind on the bomb shelters in the south of Israel, and schools in needy communities, in shelters for battered women, in youth villages, and wherever that our color and our art can help transform the outer landscape a little bit.
So I see your stuff everywhere. Hebron, where my son is now serving, by the way, and he's a soldier. Yeah, and just like in the craziest place, I'm like, Artists for Israel, that's Craig and all his boys. You're the executive director.
I'm the executive director.
How long have you been doing this?
We started at the very end of 2009 during Operation Cast Lead.
This was your baby? Your idea?
Myself and there was a large number of people who put it together, but a lot of the artists were my friends, and I've been the one who's taking it further now because it grew so rapidly, and it was hard for a lot of people to maintain their personal life, their professional life, and the nonprofit world. So.
Right. So tell us a little bit about the other artists. Jews, non-Jews, how do they connect to Israel?
Almost all of our artists are non-Jewish. They come from, we've worked with artists from 15 different countries. I think by the end of next month, it will have be 17 different countries. I mean, absolutely all over the map. And they knew very little about Israel beforehand, and a lot of misconceptions that a lot of people have. And through talking to other artists and through being in the country with us, they've absolutely changed that. And they've become the biggest ambassadors for Israel ever because they've seen the truth. They've walked the land. They've been in Hebron, as you said. They've also been on the beach in Tel Aviv and, you know, cried at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Yerushalayim. And they've even started contributing. So one of them put together a team of psychiatrists and medics and art therapists for us, and we created a psychiatric first aid kit that prevents PTSD. So it's incredible because all our programs are created by artists. So it's this great continual string that we have of success after success based on these artists coming to the country and realizing that they want to give back.
It's an artist think out of the box. I mean, that's why you're artistic. You see things that other people don't see. You create things that other people can't create.
Exactly.
And it's just, wow.
Creative solutions to usual problems.
Right. And so many people, when we talk about like BDS, the boycott movement against Israel, like we have to stand up and lecture and show that Israel does good in high tech, or we've got to show all this other stuff. And you guys are just getting there, experiencing the country, and it's coming from there.
70% of the people have no clue about Israel and don't care about politics and don't want to study it. And what we don't realize is the anti-Israel people are doing a good job of getting to them emotionally.
Yes.
They're doing a good job of getting to them through the other things that they associate with.
Right.
What people are calling intersectionality now.
Right.
You care about that topic, this is how we relate to it.
If you're South African, Israel's an apartheid state, hate Israel.
Right. If you're gay, Israel, which is crazy, but if you're gay, you should work with us because we're the oppressed people just like you were oppressed. Lots of silliness. But what we've learned is, you know, why do you root for your favorite baseball team? There's no good reason. Yet you're rapidly loyal to that team.
It's your tribe.
That's your tribe. And so what we're doing is people identify, and the youth subculture identifies with these things. They identify with brands. They identify with artists. They identify with whatever it is. Our artists have millions of followers on social media and throughout the art world. And so we're getting to them in that way. We're touching them in the emotional place, and we're going to them through what they're already connected to.
Amazing. So what's your website? How can people follow
it? It's www.artistsforisrael.org, and that's plural, artists, and it's the number 4. So artistsforisrael.org. And to look up the PTSD prevention item, it's www.healingartskits.org.
Beautiful. Craig, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Wonderful to see you here.
You
Even
too.
Even better to see you in Israel.
Enjoy.
Take care. Eve Hara, Rejuvenation, just hanging out at APAC. Unbelievable energy here. Amazing people. Be back. Okay, at APAC, Eve Hara for Rejuvenation on the Land of Israel Network. And I'm here with Sydney Penske, who works with Craig Dershowitz. We interviewed a little bit before about Artists for Israel. Sydney, thank you for agreeing to this interview.
Hi, nice to meet you.
So you are behind this desk of toys.
Yes.
What is going on here? The Healing Arts Kit. Craig mentioned it before, but I wanted a little more information.
Okay, so the Healing Arts Kit is a program that we've made for PTSD prevention. We are supported by United Hatzalah as well as Israel Trauma Coalition. We have ambulance kits as well as bomb shelter kits, and the bomb shelter kits are in every bomb shelter as well as in the classrooms, and the ambulance kits are inside of every ambulance. What they are designed to do is to take the focus off of the trauma and all the rockets and the bombs that are outside.
To try and prevent post-traumatic stress.
Yes,
okay,
to try and prevent PTSD.
Right.
So we have finger puppets so that the little kids can make a little finger puppet show.
This is radio, everybody, but I can promise you that Sydney is now showing me the finger puppets and taking everything out of the bag, and it looks really great. The idea being that while there is some very unpleasant incident going on, these will be around in the bomb shelters or in the homes or wherever in the car so that the
yes.
parents can whip these out and the kids can get busy and kind of not pay attention to what's going on around them. That
yes.
isn't good?
Yes.
Okay.
So what we have inside of the bomb kit that is different than the ambulance kit, the ambulance kit is more hands-on trauma versus the bomb shelter one is more focused trauma. When I say focused trauma, I mean we have clay, we have crayons, we also have bubbles that help with breathing, and the kids don't even realize that they're trying to help their hyperventilation with bubbles. We also have, we use a lot of aromatherapy. So we have lavender spray, and we use a little flower. And we make the flower.
Aww.
And then we spray the spray on.
Right. We're getting demonstration of flower being sprayed. Oh, it smells nice. Okay.
And the lavender therapeutic
right.
oil. So it's supposed to awaken all the senses, calm them down. A lot of response to just the lavender oils alone is very calming
right.
from
right.
the children.
It's a beautiful little kit. Wow.
And
so if somebody wants to do this, if somebody wants to, you know, donate or buy one of these things, how do they go about doing so? Where do they connect with you?
If somebody wants to donate, we normally have them contact Craig Dershowitz, which he could be reached at info@artistforisrael.org, or he can be reached by his phone number at 718-757-8738. But this is Israel, so area codes are different. It's okay.
Right. No, but my show goes all over the world. I mean, there are people
oh,
who
okay.
just, you know, like in New Zealand, who just can't wait to hear the newest Rejuvenation and understand what's up.
One of my favorite parts about these kits is both the bomb kit and the ambulance kit have a step-by-step detailed like a little booklet for mm-hmm. parents as well as teachers that's in English and in Hebrew that can help the kids build a better support system.
Right.
Like, for instance, they say, I'm here with you, you're safe, I'm here,
to protect you.
It's a lot of, that makes the huge difference between a child having PTSD and having comfort from a parent or a loved one or even a teacher.
Well, an out of control situation is what causes a lot of crises. And if they feel someone's in control, it'll be over soon. And unfortunately, that's the world that we live in, not just in Israel.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'm looking at all this stuff and I'm thinking, wow, you know, we should send this to Syria.
From rape victims to car accidents to break-ins to anybody.
Right, anybody who's been through a trauma. But I'm looking at this and I'm wishing that there were people who cared enough about the little kids in Syria to send this to them, and feeling proud that Jews are doing this and non-Jews are doing this. But, you know, we've got a little step to go. Kids are kids.
By the Gaza Strip, there is Palestinian kids and there is Ethiopian kids, and they are not subject to not use our kits. We give them to
right.
the kids that any kids, black, white, yellow,
right.
purple, green, whatever color you are, we want to help the kids, and that's
exactly.
why we're there.
As the grown-ups wreck the world, let's try and keep the kids healthy so the next generation at least has some hope.
Definitely make it more
yeah.
hard
okay.
for children.
Thank you, Sydney.
Thank
the
you
Healing
so much.
Arts Kit, really, really beautiful. Thanks
Thank
so much.
Thank you so much.
Eve Harrow, Rejuvenation, Land of Israel Network. Oh, yeah. Hi, Eve Harrow, Rejuvenation at APAC, March 20th, 2016. Just ran into Malcolm Hohnlein, who is the head of the Conference of Presidents of American Jewish Organizations. How are you doing, Malcolm?
I think it's an important statement that 18,000 people came, people of every religion, every color, every race, especially every age. To all those who talk about the age gap, come here and look at the thousands of young people who are here. It's an event that I think should inspire and excite everyone. It shows the strength of the pro-Israel community. Many said after the Iran debate, you know, that the Jewish community, pro-Israel community, APAC suffered a great defeat and this will harm them and hurt their brand. The opposite was true. Number one, it wasn't a defeat. We still won in the Senate 58-42. It was a parliamentary maneuver. It is the world that lost. America lost on the deal. It was not the pro-Israel community. This is not about Israel. This is about America. It's about the world. We see the damage Iran is doing. So this is, I think, a statement, a reaffirmation of the commitment to the pro-Israel agenda, to the American people's support, overwhelming support for Israel, and, by the way, rejection of the deal still.
Right. And, of course, Israel's support for America. I mean, as an American.
And as it's a two-way street that people see how much America means to Israel, but also how much Israel means to America.
So in this election year, what are your thoughts?
I'm worried about many issues that will take place before the election. I think we're going to have many challenges, what's happening with Iran, what's happening with ISIS on BDS, and so many other issues that I don't want them eclipsed by a political race. I don't want to see the money drained from the community. I want to see people be involved. It's very important. We should do voter registration. We should keep our eye on the Senate and House races also to make sure our friends get elected. And, of course, the presidential election is very critical.
But one of the things that I'm seeing, and I've been going around the states and speaking in synagogues, is a lot of people just don't know what's going on. There's a lot of apathy.
Right. But it's too much. It's because there's too much. It's happening too fast. It's not because this is the worst of times. It isn't. You know, we were just in Egypt and Turkey and Greece and Cyprus and other places. We're building this Mediterranean alliance. We're finding countries looking at Israel in a totally different way today than they did before. There are great opportunities emerging. The problem is that we have problems of intensity, complexity, but also the speed with which they come because of the internet, because of all the information revolution, all of these things. It makes it impossible if people have time to step back and analyze and assess issues. So that's our job, is that we have to keep people informed, motivated, keep them focused on what's really important, and to be there on the front line for the battle in the hearts of the American people.
And I think if you want to give American people a clue, look at Israel, because usually the dangers that Israel faces are the ones that America's going to face in the future.
Always. So the war on terrorism, Iran, all these things. The missiles Iran fired are not for Israel.
No,
they can have
not.
Hebrew writing on them. But they don't need intercontinental ballistic missiles to hit Israel. Their Scud B, C, Ds can hit Israel.
Exactly.
Those
right.
are meant for America. And that's what people have to understand.
Strengthening Israel, strengthening America, always has been. Thank you so much, Malcolm.
My pleasure.
I don't know if you can hear it at APAC. Some very misguided, pathetic people in front of APAC with signs saying Free Palestine. If you ask them free and from whom and what is Palestine and who controls it, they wouldn't be able to answer you. But they think it's cool and they think it's in to stand here and say Free Palestine and down with Israel and end APAC. And these are not loyal Americans, not one of them don't understand. At best, they don't understand. At worst. Yeah, I think we know what at worst is.
Next week, please.
Hey, everybody. Eve Harrow and Rejuvenation. It is still March 20th, 2016. But now I'm outside the APAC Hall, right next to a pro-Palestinian, I guess you'd say, demonstration. I'm standing near Ben Packer.
It's more of an anti-Israel demonstration than a pro-Palestinian demonstration.
Thank you for clarifying. Ben Packer, who was, as he just said to me, I was here first. So what are you doing out here,
Same
Ben?
Same thing in Israel.
That's right. We were here first.
I've been out here all morning just demonstrating for Jewish rights in the land of Israel. And it's been pretty peaceful out here. A few, anti-Israel people have come and gone. I've stayed. Very similar to how it's going to be in the land of Israel. And now a large group came. So far, they seem to be ignoring me. I'm not so offended. But we'll see what happens. But
all right. It's good that they're ignoring you. You're off here on the side. So what are you saying? What are you saying about these people?
These people hate Jewish people. They're very clear about it. They There's no talk about the West Bank or Gaza here. It's all about kicking Jews out of Israel. One of the signs even says all the way to Baltimore, if I'm not mistaken. So I guess the Jews in Baltimore aren't safe either. You know, it's just a hate fest. And it's funny because there people are claiming that Trump is the racist and all the hatred. But these people take it to a whole different level, and no one seems to be bothered too much by it.
I'm going to say that Baltimore isn't about the Jews in Baltimore. I think it's just what you're saying, the anger and the hatred. Like, you know,
just about hatred.
No, I think they're trying to tap into whatever people are already feeling. Like, there's a sign that Israel is an apartheid state. Let's get all the blacks really upset. You don't have to say anything further. Same thing with Baltimore. It's just, like you said, it's like a total hate fest. So I'm going to go over there, I think, Ben, since you're wimping out and you're just standing here on the corner with this. And I'm going to go over there and I'm going to see if I can get some people to talk about Palestine.
There have been different people throughout the day, but right now it's just me.
By yourself?
Yeah.
You came from Israel, you're standing here by yourself against a mob of, it's got to be 500 people there.
I was here first.
Where are the rest of the Jews defending Israel?
They're inside in the warm.
You've been out here how long?
I've been out here since about 8 o'clock this morning.
Why aren't more Jews out here standing up for what they believe feel to be right?
Well, I think, first of all, it's against AIPAC rules for them to be out here, so they'll lose their accreditation.
No, I'm an AIPAC. I'm out here. I'm part of AIPAC. I'm out here.
But anyway...
Wait. The AIPAC said that they would lose their credentials if they came out to challenge the protesters?
Yeah, that's always been the policy.
Well, I just heard somebody telling the students in there, who are the ones who really need to be out here, that they should just go and listen to some of the policy conferences, and that's where they'll get strengthened. But that is a very un-Israeli attitude, because the Israeli attitude is like, get out there, talk, coexist, have the talk, have the arguments. Yeah, we don't have to wonder why they're losing the students.
It's not a Jewish way to confront our enemy.
Yeah, because they're intimidating us. The people are physically afraid of the pro-Palestinian group here. They're not afraid of the Jews. They're not afraid of the Jews. They're afraid of the air.
In what way? Some guy got hit, I think, in the ear. They didn't seem to care. They hit a guy with a sign. They didn't seem to care about that either. I think the police appear a little leaderless and confused. I guess it's D.C., so...
Do you think the police are letting the protesters get too close for the safety of the attendees?
That would appear to be obvious. I mean, I'm not a professional, professional crowd control person, but it looks like they're just waiting for something bad to happen.
Well, hopefully that won't be. In the meantime, you're here at your very nice little table. Being pro-Israel means being pro all of Israel, including Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and your American and your Israeli flag.
And the main sign is here because... AIPAC is not preparing their people for the obvious eventual annexation of at least parts of Judea and Samaria, if not the whole thing. People are just going to be confused.
Well, people are confused because every Israeli government has been giving mixed messages for a long, long time. Yeah, well, what's going to happen is the little people in Israel are going to have to set the stage. That's what's going to have to happen and dictate to the politicians what's going on because they are giving out mixed messages and no wonder the world is confused.
Ben, what's to protect you?
Me.
Hold up to the camera, let's see. That'll take care of you guys.
Pepper spray? Okay.
Oh, I got a stick.
Ben Packer outside the AIPAC hall. That other voice was Scott Jacobs from YouTube, who's also out here filming. We're having just a grand old time. Things getting a little heated out here. Little rumble going on. Oh, very nice. Some people from AIPAC actually came out to try and talk to some. Not that it's doing anything. Intimidation and fear will always win the day, I guess. Except in Israel.
Let's talk about the Palestinian genocide. Let's talk about the way you're killing the Ethiopians. Well, let's talk about the fact that you say you're American, so you're standing on there. That was based on genocide.
Hey, we're Nazis.
You're Nazis.
Yes.
You don't have to say Nazis. They are Israelis. And that's enough. That is enough. You are an Israeli. You're killing people.
Not you, I'm saying you.
Protesters outside. Trump appearance at AIPAC.
Can I ask you something?
we should support them in an informed decision. That means showing other opinions outside the conference.
No, but I'm saying in order to have an informed opinion, you don't think you have to hear what the guy's saying, go like.
I think we know from the media what he's saying.
Okay, so as someone who works in the media, I want to tell you that you never want to filter your opinion through the media. You want to make your opinions based on what you hear through your own ears, baby, and not what someone else decides you should hear.
Gracias, Safta.
Okay, no, but seriously. All right, listen, make your own decision. You're bright enough to do it on your own.
And you're bright enough to step out of the AIPAC conference.
To what?
And you should be brave enough to step away from AIPAC and Jewish fascism.
I'm here to learn.
To the world. I'm a father. I'm a husband. I'm a rabbi. I'm a Jew. I'm a human being. And when there's wickedness, I can see it. This man is wicked.
Politics, when she has a normal discourse, and he's so far outside of that normal discourse, when he equivocates about David Duke, when he equivocates about the KKK, this is a man who is so far out of the realm of normal politics that he represents a different type of threat than anything we've ever seen. He's inspiring the racists and the bigots to come out from the from their hiding places. And this is something that I've never seen in my lifetime.
Do you not trust people to be able to hear him and make all his decisions on their own?
I feel the need as a rabbi and as a Jew to declare his wickedness.
All right, thank you so much for your
none of them make any sense.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Republican presidential candidate, Mr. Donald J. Trump.
There is a group of people that walked out.
Good evening.
Not
Thank
big,
you
though.
Very much.
Not a large group.
I speak to you today as a lifelong supporter and true friend of Israel. I'm a newcomer to politics, but not to backing the Jewish state. In 2001, weeks after the attacks on New York,
down all attempts to isolate, pressure, and delegitimize the state
John
of Israel,
Kasich.
And I will support Congress's efforts to allow this activity both here and in the EU and in the EU. And I am also very concerned about rising attacks on Israel and Jewish students on our college campuses. I pledge to use.
Sorry. Another standing ovation.
I pledge to use the full force of the White House to fight this scourge, and I will make sure we have the tools needed to protect students from hate speech, harassment, and intimidation while supporting free speech on our college campuses. I have been horrified by the recent spate of Palestinian attacks on Israeli citizens. These are not spontaneous actions of lone wolves. They are part of an unprecedented wave of terror that has involved over 200 attacks on Israelis since October 2015. And they are the outcome of a culture of death that the Palestinian Authority and its forebears have promoted for over 50 years.
Couldn't say it better myself, and another standing ovation.
The indoctrination of hate has long been part of a planned and well-thought-out strategy. Palestinian children are raised in a culture that glorifies martyrdom and the willingness to die in the pursuit of killing or maiming Israelis. Children's textbooks have been filled with vile anti-Semitism. Families of suicide killers receive an annuity after they kill and maim. Imprisoned terrorists need stipends and receive stipends and are guaranteed jobs in the Palestinian civil service at a salary determined by the length of their sentence. Public squares, streets, and even soccer tournaments are named after terrorists. If they truly want peace with Israel, then Palestinians cannot continue to promote a culture of hatred and death. We must make it clear that we will not tolerate such behavior.
And another standing ovation.
I do not believe there is any prospect for a permanent peace until the Palestinian Authority and their friends in Hamas and Hezbollah are prepared to take real steps to live in peace with Israel and recognize Israel's right to exist as a Jewish state. And this violence is unacceptable. In the meantime, we can best advance stability in the region by providing Israel our 100% support. We can make sure Israel has what it needs to defend itself with weapons, information, technology, political solidarity, and working quietly to facilitate Palestinian and Israeli efforts at reconciliation. This is what would be expected of a dependable ally. Folks, let me conclude by talking about the greatest alliances are those with countries such as Israel, where we share a community of values. The post-war international system that we and our allies build upon these common values, of course, is under challenge or attack. And that's why we have to recommit ourselves to those values. We must not shy away from proclaiming and celebrating them, and why we must revitalize our alliances to defend and expand the international system built upon those values, a system that has prevented global conflict and lifted over 2 billion people out of poverty in the last 70 years. In doing this, we cannot go it alone. We must hang together and be realistic about what we can achieve. We cannot be neutral in defending our allies either. We must be counted on to stand by and invest in our friends instead of abusing them and currying favor with our enemies. For effective governance in our democracy and for the sake of the future, we have to work together at home as well across party and ideological lines whenever and wherever possible. This is exactly what I've done in the course of my career in public service. I've reached out to the other side countless times to see how we can sit together and achieve the progress that America wants and deserves. And we all look back to the time of Ronald Reagan and his meetings with Tip O'Neill, where they came together to put America first, politics and partisanship second. And Reagan, as he reached across the aisle to Tip O'Neill, very partisan, legendary, they managed to hammer out deals that gave Reagan victories in revitalizing our economy and implementing the military buildup that ended the Cold War. But it took a conscious effort and an attitude of wanting to cooperate. So, this is what I want to do, Republicans and Democrats who are here today. We need to work together with Congress on an agenda that serves the interests of the nation as a whole. We are Americans before we are Republicans or Democrats. I will not take the low road to the highest office in the land. I will not do it.